Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, it's the Machin Page App podcast. Myself and Chris are back after a short foray. Well, it's been like a week.
Two?
Well, yeah. Yeah, we've missed a week and we're back.
Okay.
There we are.
About six before that. No,
absolutely.
We dipped our toe. It was a little bit cold, the water, and we went away for a week to America. It was great.
Yeah, it was. It was great. We'll talk about all that in a minute. I want to know what your page is for this week.
Football Twitter again, Paul. Football Twitter, mate.
I had
a day yesterday where I just spent it on Twitter for some unknown reason. It was ridiculous. It started off and I was having a good conversation with Dan Kennett and with Steve Davies. And then it just
I don't think it started as a good conversation. Was it not you having a go with him first?
No, I didn't have a go. I didn't have a go with Dan.
Yeah.
I had a go. I asked him to explain something and he ignored that and took part of my tweet that he thought I was taking umbrage with. Fair enough, probably did come across like that. Didn't mean to be. But this is part of the problem, myself included, is that 180 characters or whatever it is now isn't enough to have a proper discussion. What I should have done is WhatsApp Dan.
Yes.
That's what I should have done. Or rang him, yeah, and had a talk like that. But this is the thing, you're able to do it in real time on Twitter and then hundreds of people bomb onto a conversation that you're having, and then you end up having like 9 different discussions in different threads. And not only that, the thing that really pisses me off, some people don't thread it, some people decide to quote retweet you to make you look like a cunt, right? And that is mental, because A, it's really difficult for people to join in the conversation, which I don't want anyway, which is fine, but also, why you are, like, if you quote retweet someone when you're having a conversation, you're a prick.
Yeah.
End of, because you're doing that for the attention. And I had about 3 people doing it to me, and I was like, I nearly said, but then I come across as a prick. Why are you quote retweeting, you prick? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's no other.
And then you quote retweet him.
Yeah, and then
to say what a prick is doing.
Yeah. But there's the, like, what it.
I generally do it to highlight morons.
I don't actually. I'll do it where I go, I really like this, bang.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And part of the problem is, and I include myself in this again, like the last time I did a page, is that not enough people's parents said to them when they were younger, if you've got anything nice to say, don't say anything.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem, because now Twitter just exists to just say negative things.
Yeah,
and that's all it does, Paul. I am nowhere near finished, mate.
I'll carry on.
Back the fuck off. I've got a long way to go on this one, mate. So we're talking about football, we're talking about Liverpool, we're talking about the European champions who won 97 points in the Premier League, who didn't, and Liverpool fans have lost their heads, at least 50% of them, maybe. I don't know, I'm making percentages up. But on Twitter, the vast majority of people that I am now seeing somehow are losing their heads, and it's because they've jumped onto this conversation. The people that I know in real life have not lost their heads at all. In fact, the people that I know in real life are kind of looking forward to the season to start so we can stop talking about transfers again. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's this binary thinking, this binary talking that does my head in more than anything. It's like, everybody says something, and maybe it's the character limit, and they just go, this is going to happen because of this. And it's like, hang on a minute, football is more than just that. You can't just tell me something in pre-season and expect that that's the case. Now, it's hard to be an optimist as a football fan, because more often than not, well, let's be honest, one team wins the Premier League every year, therefore 19 fan bases, the pessimists are going to win out every single time, and one fan base of optimists are going to win out. So simple odds would suggest that if you're an optimist, you're going to fail in this long-term argument, which it is, because I had people saying to me yesterday, I'll remind you of this in May. Really? Really? You're going to remind me of that in May? Get a goddamn life. Mm. Honestly. You know what I mean? And I tell you, it's just absolutely pathetic, but it spills over into your real life. So I'm out in Burger King with the kids, having lunch. And I look back at my phone when we get back to ours, and someone's
going... It's an outstanding choice, by the way.
It was a good choice. They chose it. I did that. Nothing well, to do children. With this. They had chicken nuggets. Don't ask.
Oh, no.
Don't ask.
Oh, they've come so close.
Don't ask.
I've fallen so far.
Ridiculous. We'll come on to that next week.
Oh, you've go on.
But then, so I get home and I check Twitter. And I knew he wouldn't reply to that. I said, lads, I'm feeding my kids. You know what I mean? I'm not checking Twitter all the time. I'm in a conversation. I'll leave it for half an hour. I'll pick my phone back up when they're doing something benign over there. Yeah. And then when they start to try and kill themselves again, I'm going to have to get involved in that instead of Twitter. You know what I mean? And then, but there's this one-upmanship that happens all the time throughout it. And you just... Your head's just completely chocker with it, and you're like, I've got a life. This isn't my life. There are people who live on Twitter, that's fair enough. I dip my toe in and out most of the time. I'll post things like stuff that Red Men's done, stuff that I might have done. Generally, don't get into too many big discussions because this is what happens when I do. Stupidly, I decided to get in one yesterday. I regret it. I might just go and delete all the tweets so that no one. They've said that they're probably screenshots.
Oh, well, I've seen you've been screenshotted several times this week already.
Oh, the Everton thing again.
Oh, no, there's the one about someone made a quote. That you'd said, like, and put a picture of you out there that they'd screen grabbed from like a video you did for Chelsea Fans TV or whatever, and you replied to him calling them a scrotum.
I thought that was a great reply,
and I've seen that like screenshotted all over Twitter for the week. Like, it's
brilliant. So what happened? So what I've tend to do in situations like that is I replied and muted them straight away, so you can piss in the wind for all I want. Yeah. I just wanted to make him really angry and have no chance of getting back in touch with me.
Yeah.
If he wants to say things about me, that's absolutely fine. I'm not too bothered. The guy didn't even have the bollocks at me in the first place.
Yeah.
I found it from somebody else who'd added me into the thread, so shows you how big his balls were.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you look at it, and then you have other people, like, we've just released the Klopp thing, and then someone else jumped on it and was like, why, you think you're socialist and all that, but, you know, why is the Klopp thing behind the paywall? I'm like, socialism doesn't work in a capitalist culture. You can't be the only socialist in a capitalist culture. It doesn't work. We live in a capitalist culture, unfortunately.
It's the simple mathematics of why that the Klopp interview, the vast majority of which goes behind the paywall, is that it cost us thousands of pounds to get that in. It was given to us, but it was given to us because effectively we had to fly two of us over to fucking America and live there and come back. You know what I mean? We've not made money on it or whatever. It's just that it all funds. Yeah, I know. It's funny, isn't it? But I find that the general rule of thumb I find is if people don't, Red Men's had a paywall for 7 years,
longer.
Like that, eight years, and no one ever really mentions it, apart from when we do something really good,
and don't give it away for free,
and don't give it away for nothing, like, yeah.
And the problem is, we do loads of really good stuff.
Yeah, but it's when you
it
get
just to, doesn't all have clapping.
When you get something fucking, you know, some super fucking brilliant, you put it and you do that and that, and people kick off. That's generally when they kick off. They don't kick off about the day-to-day stuff. No,
but also they question your access and your integrity. And it's like, well, hang on a minute. And it's like, oh my God, three tweets in, I had the first access tweet about me. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You're only moan about access in pre-season when everybody gets good access.
Yeah.
That's just the way that it works. I haven't seen you for 12 months because we haven't had any access in the last 12 months.
Yeah, he doesn't speak to us during the season. He doesn't pop around there for a couple. One day, mate.
I'd love him too. The invite's there, mate. Honestly, if you want to come out.
You're right. It's funny. But this is the thing. These are the consistent replies I see whenever certain situations are triggered. I'm my page was very nearly football this week because I'm so fucking tired of the whole thing, and most of it comes from, and you've covered the vast majority of the reasoning behind it, apart from the fact that it feels like about 3 days since the last season finished, but like it is the reactions on it I find utterly exhausting. You're right, binary is exactly the way I was gonna use to describe it. It's the, is it you in this camp or this camp? Why is everyone in camp? I mean, look,
this
is not America. We don't have to put people in camps. Like, you know what I mean? Like, fucking, you know, this is... this is not everything has to be like you're either in this, you're in, and that's what Twitter does, because you're right, because there's no room for nuance. You see what is a very unnuanced point, and there's a very simple response to it, and then there's no argument was ever settled in one tweet. I've had no argument was ever won on Twitter ever, by the way, ever. It's effectively now become an app where you can choose which arguments you wish to get into today. Yeah. It's like, I fancy getting an argument about Star Wars today. Brilliant. Oh, look, the Rise of Skywalker trailer's out. Let's delve into that. What a fucking crock of shit that is. What's J.J. Abrams going to do in it? Oh, yeah, and you can dive into any of them. Pick one. There's 15 different ones for Liverpool at the moment. You know, if you want to, just if you fancy an argument, just say, I think Adam Lallana could be a good squad member for Liverpool this season, and then just sit back and wait.
Don't
for
sit back. Duck. Yeah, that's what exactly. You need to do.
Wait for your mentions to fill up like a fucking like a big pot of hate. So no, I was gonna go with all that because you're right. It's so draining. The whole thing is so absolutely exhausting because you can't get it. You can't truly get into things. You can't argue, and then you end up in a world where you've got weirdos who then start. You were screenshotting things and making stuff up and fucking diving back and trying to take pot shots and stuff, and it's like I find it utterly exhausting. I want to talk about Twitter again in a minute, but before I do, my page this week is rules that we set for our children. And it's and not all rules, because children need rules. It's the rules that there's some rules I just make up on the spot because you'd have to, because you're allowed to, because you're a parent. But it's the rules that I instinctively throw out there that I've never really stopped to consider whether they are worthwhile rules or not. Like I had things like, don't get up from the dinner table. Like, and I think if they get up, if they have a fucking spoon of dinner and then they walk around the room and they come back and have another spoon of dinner and they eat all the dinner, am I asked whether they sat down to
eat? Are you mad? That's chaos, Paul. That's anarchy. What's going on? Yeah, you don't do that in a restaurant.
No, I know, but...
Don't do it at home.
Well, exactly. But there's a load of these things, like, and it's things like, again, it comes after food. You eat everything on your plate. Well, I'm arbitrarily setting how much food they eat here. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you get to put how much food on the plate.
Exactly, but I don't know how much food they actually need. I have no concept of how much a fucking 3-year-old actually, I guess, I can create a good guess. Like, I can go, that seems too much, because that's more than I'm having, so that's too much. But that looks too little. Like if they can finish it in 3 mouthfuls, that's probably too little. But there's like, and then we do, and then it spirals out into fucking mass arguments. And because it's the amount of stupid arguments I end up with and fights with me kids over things that I just think, like, am I prepared to die on this hill? Am I prepared to, Give you a great one. So, for some reason, my son has started having, like, he's got a lamp in his room. It's one of those ones where you touch it and it's got three light settings, basically. So, he started having it on the lowest light. And he's never slept with that. But it's crept into his bedtime routine. And I know the reason why. My wife turned it on and she listens. And I know, sorry, babe, I'm mentioning this. But, like, I passively, aggressively mentioned in, like, a... How's this ended up happening? Well, there's only two people who can possibly be responsible for this, and I know bloody well it wasn't me. So I passively aggressively mentioned this is the thing. So she's got annoyed by that and is now actively seeking to do it. And we ended up in like a pitched 2-hour screaming battle with my eldest last night because of this fucking lamp who became Mr. Lampy that we'd stolen from him. Like, he became personified. Oh, why not? Like, yeah, and it became personified, and we'd stolen this lamp, and he was like, and you know, and you just think, like, what am I doing?
Do you really care?
Yeah, and it's
that. Do you care?
That's the point.
And you're willing to walk into an argument with Charlie for it?
We were talking about this last night, actually. So, she'll laugh because I'm. But the point is that we both ended up in this massive battle over a fucking lamp because we decided. I decided that he wasn't going to have this fucking lamp in his bedroom, and this happens to me on a day-to-day basis. And then I realised.
Did you give it the old Blackpool Illuminations line?
No. I very nearly walked in and threw it at the wall eventually, but I opted not to. We gave up. We had a chat, and eventually he got the lamp back, and I ended up with a sensible discourse, which is hard with kids. But eventually, you can kind of add it. I basically said, if you can prove to me that you can go to bed with it on, then you can have it. But if you don't, then you can't. And he went, okay, sound. And I was like. Brilliant.
So he just turned it off?
No, we went to bed with it on. But it's there's one of myriad examples of these, and a lot of them are like handed down to us. It's like accepted wisdom from parents and stuff that we don't even think about doing. And I do. I think about these all the time, and I'm just like, there should be some scientific. There should be a proper rule book.
Show me the chewing gum that wraps around your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's so many things that we do. But
show
we,
me this.
Me and my wife talk
put
about
it on the
all
packet.
The time.
Like cigarettes.
About, no, but we put that on the packet. Because boys and girls learn differently. So boys learn from doing stuff, and girls basically learn from being told a lot of the time, particularly in upbringing. So like, so there's girls that won't do stuff because their mums basically were like, "Don't do that or you'll die." And girls go generally go, "Okay, cool." Whereas boys are like, "Don't put my finger in the socket." Go on. Oh shit! Oh, you were right. Sorry. And then, you know, 6 months later they'll go, "Ooh, do it again." But yeah, these are the these. It's yeah, there's so many things that you realise you're conditioned in from your own childhood that were complete bollocks that your parents made up on the spot. And I find myself doing the same. And a guidebook would be nice. I'd like someone to proof all of these like rules. Like, is it really bad for you sitting dead close to the telly? You know what I mean? All you know, you're not going to get square eyes, are you?
They're not even square
lie,
anymore.
Lie.
They're not square.
Yeah, exactly.
Should be rectangular.
Absolutely. But all this stuff, yeah. So, yeah, the bullshit
rules.
If you
watch 3D telly, do you get 3D eyes?
Oh, my God. Yeah, the bullshit rules that we make up for kids can get purged for this week until I desperately need to fall back on some for some peace and quiet.
What's the earliest, Paul, that you've invoked Father Christmas in a year?
Ooh, that's a it's
May
tough.
Was mine, by the way.
It's got well, my eldest birthday is April, so you've got birthday up until then, so probably. You need to. I don't think you can go big on Santa until you start to see Christmas things in the shops. Until you, because it's not real. There's little things that you can punish with in the meantime.
It still works. I mean, I say it was like May time.
Father Christmas is watching.
What are you doing? Father Christmas is watching. You know. Okay, Santa.
Did I tell you about? I must have told you this. I haven't done it on this podcast though. The greatest misuse of Father Christmas as a threat I ever heard in my entire life was in Belvale. I was in CEX in Belvale, and I think it was a nan who had the kids, and the kids were being meffs and running around, and the nan said, "You kids better behave, or Father Christmas will get you."
He did tell me, "Get you." Like,
She's lost it there.
She's been watching Happy on gone. Netflix. That's what she's done. She's anyone gone. Who watches that will know.
She's gone a step too far there, and she's gone. It's like your dad'll get you or your granddad'll get you, and she's gone with the Christmas threat, but she's tied it into some sort of usual child domestic abuse, and so Father Christmas is now this figure of absolute terror in their house. So yeah, you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful with all that.
Might try it myself.
Yeah, we're gonna get into as mentioned, we've been away in the States for a week. Some really interesting stuff that happened. Tying into our Twitter conversation from earlier though, I discovered. So we got on the flight home. And the last thing I pretty much did on social media was there was that video doing the rounds of the Merseyside MP asking Boris Johnson, yeah, the new Prime Minister, for those of you outside of the country who don't know, asking to apologise. Yeah, asking to apologise for his comments in The Spectator from years ago, where he basically said that Liverpool was like a victim, had a victim status culture and a self-pity city and all this kind of stuff. And instead of taking that opportunity to just go, like, he could have said, "It was a long time ago, he could have used the whole, like, I've changed as a person," anything. Could have said, you know, could have, didn't even need to say, because him saying sorry wouldn't have changed my opinion of him necessarily. It wouldn't have made me come full circle to Boris Johnson in any way, shape, or form. But anyway, he went through this bullshit politician Tory bluster that they all do, and he's the fucking king of saying absolutely nothing in a really bumbling British way, that probably the people who really like him just think is really endearing or whatever, and spouted a load of absolute horseshit that base morons listen to, and it just ticks a little box in their brain and go, "There you go, politician saying something that I very top line agree with, that'll do for me." And I quote retweeted, because I use quote retweets to highlight positive things that I like, but also to highlight morons. All I wrote was "Tory cunt is Tory cunt" or some words that might have been an eye or two in there. And we got off the plane to discover that my Twitter account had been locked for it, for like offensive, for citing hate or something like that. It was bollocks. It was complete and utter bollocks. But I'm not wrong. in any way, shape, or form. I thought about...
It's a simple equation, really, if you think of the maths of it all. Like, if you put an equal sign in where his was.
Yeah, if you believe that he's a Tory cunt, then he's being a Tory cunt. Which
you didn't actually say that he was. Yeah. You just said Tory cunt equals Tory cunt.
Yeah.
Let them draw their conclusions.
Yeah, for anyone who's a fan of Cinema Sins, you know, like, that's it was that. But no, it got me to the point where I hate that because there's a moral stance, and I had no Twitter because I couldn't be asked to sort it because I needed to read a page, and we were jet lagged to fuck coming back, and I just wasn't. I had my kids and you know and all that, and I was having a fun time with the family, so I launched it, and I tried to go on Twitter all the time because I've realised that I get my news from Twitter. I keep up to date with what's happening in the world and things that I'm asked about from Twitter. So, like, I come to, like, Liverpool match on Sunday, and I wanted to know what the starting 11 was. And my routine is go to Twitter, type at LFC. It never comes up first.
Yes,
so you
never
scroll to the bottom.
Never comes up.
Did you mean all the way to go to at LFC? And I look at, and I get the starting 11. And I couldn't do that because I had to clear off this page. So I had to go through, I went to the Liverpool Echo website, couldn't find it. I had to go to the official Liverpool website and find it.
Could you not get on Redmen's Twitter or anything?
No, I couldn't get on Twitter at all because I had this page up I needed dealing with, so I didn't want to go back off it or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
And also, I was enjoying not being on Twitter, but then I couldn't anyway. So, yeah, it led me to that situation. So I was off Twitter for, three beautiful...
Glorious
days. And then I turned it back on again because the match was on and I wanted to just... I had 5 minutes a piece to look through and I had to delete that tweet, which is good, but I had to. And it's just been fucking horrendous since then. It's been absolutely
glad
fucking
to turn
horrendous.
It back on.
No, I really wish. And that's the point, is that I really wish there was an alternative to it. If I could get all of the things that I enjoy about Twitter without all of the shit I hate about Twitter... Like what Twitter was when it was first a thing. In the first 3 years of Twitter, it was lovely. And in the last 3 years, it's been fucking utterly horrendous. The American tour then.
That was good.
We had some interesting times, didn't we? The Boston being the hottest place on the face of planet Earth.
Yes.
And walking around there. But then I want to talk, should we tell people the story in New York? Because I did a little bit of a Twitter thread about this at the time. So... But do you want to? We get to the airport, and where does it all start to go wrong?
Was it when you said this has gone really well?
has gone really smoothly. We checked the bags in. We got our boarding passes.
Glorious. You stopped. You stopped mid stride to turn around. This has gone really well. And what did I say? You tit.
Yeah.
Why have you said
no!
that?
No. Why would I say that? Why would I guarantee there's people listening to this or watching this going, what are you doing?
You can't say
why
that.
Why would you say that in an airport? Honestly, because I've no idea. I've got no idea. And I tried to caveat it with, I said, this has gone really smoothly up till now.
It didn't work.
No, it didn't work because...
Airport gods knew exactly what you were
within
doing.
20 minutes, the flight had been cancelled.
And then it's like, okay, Sam, we just need to go and find someone to talk to, which in an airport, there's loads of people to talk to. Not many people who can actually help you in situations. So we ended up walking around for a little bit. We found a flight desk that was for American Airlines, which is who we were with, a plane that was leaving for America. We walked straight up to them and went, our plane's been cancelled. And the lovely woman went, brilliant, where are you going? We're like, New York. And she's like, this one leaves now, jump on. And we went, what about our bags? And she said, they'll follow you, don't worry.
Very nonchalant. And it left
2 minutes
me on
later,
edge.
We were on the plane.
Yeah.
And our luggage wasn't.
But our luggage
but they were so confident, yeah, weren't they, that it was coming.
So we learned an important lesson, which, stay tuned. You know, strap in, because it's an important life lesson that we're about to delve into and bestow upon you much earlier in the podcast than we normally do such things. So we landed in Boston.
In
New York.
In New York.
Yeah,
America.
That's where I'm going wrong.
There you go.
Yeah, brilliant. We've nailed that. Not jet-lagged at all anymore. Just thick. We landed in New York.
I didn't want to count my chickens.
Absolutely.
I just went with America.
Yeah,
we landed in America.
Yeah, we landed on Earth. at a later time in our lives, we went to find out where the bags are. And they went, oh, they're coming
35 minutes.
Yeah, it's 35 minutes away. They're coming on the next flight. Perfect. Well, we'll go and get it. We go upstairs. There's a Five Guys. Nailed it. There you go.
Well, this is karma for us. Our bags being on a different plane. Absolutely. I think we might have even said it.
Yeah, literally said that. This has worked out splendidly for us. You know, I think we've earned the right for there to be a Five Guys here, not just some like shitty news agents with some crap coffee. Five Guys, perfect. And then like we're waiting, and then we like, go to the toilet and we check.
You've missed the crazy lady out.
Oh God, there was a crazy. Oh well, I couldn't. She was all I heard was a mad babbling noise behind me. There was a genuinely insane woman.
She was insane.
Yeah.
She was shouting at Thimmy for like half an hour, and she was gaining as well, like dribbling and all kinds of stuff. Like
I
get like that when I've not had the Five Guys for a long time. But seriously, this was
she
more
had
than
like
that.
Four suitcases with her, and she was murderously, ragingly angry. So veins and red face and
spit.
Screaming and shouting and slobbering to no one but herself. And I thought, because she came and slams the bags, and I thought she was just going to say, like, fucking American Airlines or fucking LaGuardia Airport or fucking whatever, and then go sit down and have a Coke and a smile or whatever. But no, she just proceeded to shout at herself and her imaginary friends.
I don't think they were friends.
Fucking hell, her imaginary enemies. Her imaginary sworn enemies. And then vanished.
Yeah, left her bag.
And left the bag.
A handbag with a passport on it. And I could literally see her purse open on top of her suitcase.
With the suitcases. And I'm like, now, she's clearly insane. So I put it beyond her to have like some sort of complex mechanical or, you know, chemical bomb. But people leaving their bags unattended in an airport.
You've got so many bags.
In an airport.
Not like you can just forget them.
That is a faux pas. I think we just kind of casually moved ourselves away from that situation to discover that the flight with our bags on had been delayed couple of hours.
First of all, it got delayed for 16 minutes or something.
Yeah.
And then we were like, oh, so I came back. I was like, 16 minute delay. Then went back and then you were like, it's 3 hours now. I was like, what? No, it just said there, walk back over. You were still sat down. I think you were checking on your phone. I was like, yeah, and now it's 3 hours. So go down, speak to the lovely people.
Whose system has gone down by this point.
Oh yeah, that was brilliant. So they're in lost luggage. It's a busy place in LaGuardia Airport. It's busier than a McDonald's. Right, it's so busy, they lose a lot of luggage. So these four people have got no system at this point. They don't even know that the plane's down. We're telling them that the plane's going to be like 3 hours later, and they're like, oh, it's fine, we'll just send you the luggage.
Yeah,
okay, we're like, sure, no, like, yeah, just fill in this form.
And
and then she went, do you know what, I'll get my manager to fill in the form, you just need to fill in the address. Yous are lovely.
And she goes, they were so nice. Because the thing is, bear in mind, they had to break out of like a piece of paper to fill this in, which the girl, I think she must have been a millennial and
she had
no
really
idea.
She was really against paper.
The forms were filled in on pieces of paper. So she was baffled by this concept of like a writing implement that you put into your hand and then it leaves like a trail on paper.
Because she's got an Apple Pencil normally.
Probably, like, yeah. So they get also, and they're saying, because we're looking at it, it's a balance. It's like, well, we could wait here for another couple of hours and get the bags, or we could have another couple of hours in New York. I think that's a perfectly reasonable, equation to kind of balance out. But they say, oh, look, as soon as the bag gets here, they'll just throw them in a car or whatever, and they'll bring them straight to you. You'll have them this evening. They'll follow them. Like,
amazing.
Well,
they're amazing.
That's perfect. No problems with that whatsoever. A couple of hours. Well, that means we get a couple of extra hours in New York, and the bags will come. Well, no problems whatsoever, and we don't have to sit in uncomfortable chairs and eat yet another Five Guys.
Yeah,
you know,
mean,
so
would
like cholesterol,
like,
boss. We get to the airport. We get to the hotel
in America.
In America, on the earth, and
the guy's like
the concierge just goes,
no luggage.
He goes, oh, the luggage just follows this evening. And he went, no, it's not. And we're like, well, okay. He obviously doesn't know the full details. We'll have to explain the story to him. No, don't worry. It was following us just behind. They've explained to us that as soon as it arrives.
I've worked here for 25 years. You are not getting
no one has ever had their luggage on the same day. Ah, right. And he goes, it'll be a few days. All right, so we go in and we check in and we speak to the guy on the desk and we go, okay, well, this guy's like, he's not just some fucking...
He's not a concierge.
He's not just a $5 an hour concierge. This is the main man here. He'll know. We'll explain the story.
He's wearing a suit.
Yeah, exactly. We'll explain the story to this guy, and he just goes, no.
Wednesday.
This is like Monday. He goes, you won't be getting your bags tonight. Defo, it's ridiculous. It's like laughable that you even think that's possible. It's impossible. You probably won't get them tomorrow. You might get them the day after. You'll definitely get them the day after, the day after. And we were like, well, we fly home the day after, mate. So, and then like, I realised that this couldn't be any less your fault or your problem. But like, and he went, look, I'm trying, like, don't shoot the messenger. I'm explaining to you from our years of experience. Don't get your hopes up.
So then he started to tell us how it worked. So apparently there's just a man with a van. And what happens is all the lost luggage, again, I will say LaGuardia loses a lot of luggage, gets shipped to a man with a van. This man with the van also picks up from JFK. And is there another airport as well?
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's another
Newark as well.
Newark as well. He picks up all the lost luggage and he gets it about midnight. So, right, he's picking luggage up at midnight when all the flights have come in, so they've got all the day's lost luggage. So completely impossible for us to get our luggage on the day anyway.
Yeah.
And then it's just hit and hope. He probably goes home for a sleep and he probably sets off the next morning. And where are you in closest hotels to him?
It's like if you ever tried to track a parcel on My Hermes, it would also absolute assholes. So we in our infinite wisdom, because we are brilliant men, we've achieved, for two men who've achieved, you know, some pretty significant milestones in their lives off their own backs,
yeah,
we are fucking idiots.
Oh yeah.
So we have to rewind the story a little bit to put a little filler bit in. As we get to like 5 minutes from the hotel, our phones start making this ludicrous alarm noise.
This ludicrous noise.
Flash flood warnings override. I've never seen this happen. It overrides every function on your phones. And bear in mind, we've got personal and business phone, and then the smartwatches as well. So we've both got basically three devices that go fucking apeshit at us. I thought it was like
mine were all on silent.
Holy shit. Scared the living piss
out
of us.
And it vibrates to a setting that doesn't exist. No. I can't get it to vibrate so hard, trust me.
It's like a disco vibration setting, basically. And if you put your phone down, it would flip on its end, effectively. That's the kind of vibration it's doing. So saying there's a flash flood warning. Oh, wow, that's weird. Okay, cool, whatever. So anyway, we've lost our luggage. We decide we've got no equipment and we've got the clothes on our backs. So we decide, look, we need toiletries and we need clothes for at least the next day, underwear, socks, that kind of stuff. So we head out into this weather warning flash flood that was such a bad flash flood that our phones were overrided with the message that there was going to be a fucking flash flood.
And it even gave us the times, which was almost exactly the time we left the hotel.
Yeah. So 30 seconds into leaving the hotel, We're all in because we are soaked to the fucking bone. My trainers.
I think you're already moaning about your feet at this point.
Yeah, yeah. I've got like the fucking Pharrells, which are just material. They're fucking socks with rubber on the bottom.
I mean, basically, yeah, all they're doing is catching water.
Yeah, yeah, there's just sponges on my feet. Sponges with a solid tread on the bottom. So I'm completely and utterly soaked from head to toe. I had a rainproof jacket on, you didn't, so you're like wet t-shirt competition by this point.
Full nipples.
Nipples
out,
everywhere. All kinds. Nipples as far as the eye can see.
Down by my knees.
So we're all in. What are you going to do? So we've got to go and fight. We've got no choice now but to go on, press on in increasingly heavy rain.
Do you know
rain.
How desperate we were? We went into Forever 21.
Yeah.
That's how desperate we were for clothes.
Yeah.
I nearly bought
this like American flag tracky top because it was the only thing that was even remotely like...
Forever 21.
Yeah. Yeah, 36 years old. So we walked, we checked shops, and we found bits and pieces, and we settled, and we found an H&M, and this is where like we get to the point, we get to the till, and I realise
this is why you're very successful.
Yeah, realise this is my one plus point in the whole trip almost. They only give you paper bags, and I was like, well, imagine this. You've just gone out and your only clothes, you're soaked, you buy new clothes and you get in a paper bag and you set three steps outside of the fucking shop and there's your new clothes fucking KO'd as well, like, you know what I mean? So, yeah. So I was like, have you not got any plastic bags? And they said, no. Get you a, basically, whatever the American equivalent of bin bag is. So I ended up carrying our new clothes.
Because they ran out of bin bags. You had the last one.
The last bin bag at H&M through Manhattan in a torrential... flash flood, rainstorm. Yeah, that was great. We got back and the bags turned up at like 1 o'clock the next day. So it was like, it was fine, it was lovely the next day. We could have just got up in the morning, like had a shower with the toiletries were there, put our clothes back on again, gone and Google searched effectively proper places we wanted to go, bought the new clothes, come back. And by the time we got back, the fucking clothes would have been there anyway.
It was a fun... It wasn't fun.
It was an anecdote. Look, it's just...
One of the things that we did manage to do, because again, we're very similar in a lot of ways, is we actually both bought this T-shirt independently of each other.
I think there's a challenge that we might have to do on this channel at some point, where we're both given a clothing budget and set loose in town, and I honestly think we would come back with this, because I nearly bought... I wanted to buy the trainers you bought. I went to try them on first, and they didn't have them in my size, and you bought them trainers. We both bought the same... They both bought the same T-shirts.
Yeah, I think they were packing mine at the till, and you went...
I've just bought that. There was four to a row... There was probably about 36 different Adidas T-shirts on this stand, and we both picked exactly the same fucking T-shirts. Jesus Christ. Anyway, one thing I want to talk about, because we're going to plug this to the high heavens on all everything that we do. If you're not a Liverpool fan, you're watching this, you'll have less interest in it, but obviously understand that we are, and we have a mass interest in these things. You got to sit down with Jurgen Klopp.
I did.
Finally.
It was flipping fantastic.
There was... It was mad, because we were... We're in Boston, we're in our apartment, and I'd, as another aside, we got to Boston and we went out, we went for a walk, we went to a bar, we had a few pints, and I was just fucking done in. Someone had done my head in, and I was tired, and I went home and I got out the taxi and I dropped my phone and fucking smashed it. Fucking brilliant. Absolutely fucking amazing. When you're in the worst possible mood and you just had no sleep, and then you do that, you just basically want to just fucking give up on the world. I had to use my other phone, my work phone, which is no first world problems. Like, and I'd spoken to Liverpool's press officer then that night, and I'd had the foresight mercifully to say, I haven't got my phone. If you need to get hold of me, use this number. So we get up in the morning, and he messages me at like 9:30 in the morning. I'm in bed and I'm tired and I don't want to get up. And he's like, Jurgen Klopp, 15 minutes. Can you be to here in an hour? Yes.
Absolutely, we can.
So it was like, I think you were on the phone back home at the time, and it was like, there you go, you've got 60 minutes to prepare your Jurgen Klopp interview. How was that?
With the hangover, rather rushed. I had the questions all written. I had loads of questions, but I had questions for an hour if I needed an hour. you know, so actually the tough part was paring it down. Thankfully, I'd written the questions down and taken them all from my phone, from various different notes, things that I've been compiling for a year. I just wrote them all down, so I was fine. So then it was just about writing them down in an elusive sort of manner.
What was your manner. What was it like then in terms of like from your, because you actually say, you sit down, you're like, I'm nervous, and I haven't been nervous to talk to anyone in ages.
I've not been nervous to have a conversation with someone in a long time.
Yeah, you should be.
I know, I thought so.
Because it's true, isn't it? I don't want to say blasé, but you just take most things in your stride, don't you? But it was, that's a weird feeling, isn't it, to be like in front of someone that you genuinely give a fuck about so much that you're like, for me, it was like, I just don't want him to think I'm a bellend, and that makes me think more about what I would say than I probably would normally if it was the vast majority of people.
Yeah, I think also it's having watched him so intently for so long, isn't it? I think that's what it comes down to, and you see the way he speaks to journalists and stuff when they ask him a question that he thinks is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
He calls a spade a spade,
yeah.
And that was the thing that I didn't want him to do. That was the thing that I didn't want. No, that's silly. You know what I mean? When you ask him a question, you want to see a wry smile of recognition from him. And I think I got that on a couple of occasions, so it was pretty cool. Like, but from that, like, you know, thankfully we just had an hour. I think that was the other point.
Yeah.
Had I been able to stew on that for 8 hours, I'd have probably worked myself into some kind of, I'd have been drinking, probably, at that point again. But because it was only an hour, it was like, shit, I need to write this, and then we need to get in the cab, and had we got all the equipment, there was too much to fill that hour with. So by the time I walked in, really, the only thing I was worried about was don't spill your coffee on him.
Yeah. It's funny, though, one of the things that stood out about him, we'll talk about this a bit, but, like, he comes in, and he says hello, and he, you know, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. And he sits down and he basically goes to you, How was France?
It was amazing. It was incredible. It was amazing.
And like, because he knows that you went to France. Because we told him about it at the media day, ahead of the Champions League final. The fact, it's mental, because I'm not saying other managers wouldn't do this or whatever, but like, for someone to take that level of, put that level of time and thought, I don't think he does it deliberately. I just think, you know, but it's a testament to the kind of character that he is. The little things that he does that I don't think he realises how much mean to people, but it is those little nuances that, like, it shows, it makes you realise that you love him and I love him, and it's for good reason.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we obviously told him I was going to France. You made sure of that. But then he'd obviously watched the videos after the Champions League final, and we spoke about that, about how he just wanted to get all the content, not just Redmen, all the content from all the content producers around Liverpool. And it was that, like, because he talks to you off camera about your dad, and he does a little impression of your dad.
Cool guy, huh?
Get him, come on.
Not bad.
Yeah. And stuff like that, and he's like cool fella or something like that, isn't he? And it's like, even if he did see them, he didn't have to tell us, and he didn't have to show us that it mattered to him.
And to be fair, he's probably watched,
don't have to,
hundreds of videos, like, you know, and he doesn't need, like, there's a chance most people might just like not remember things or not think, you know what I mean, not think about them more than, oh, that was cool. The fact that he's not just watched them but taking them on board,
but
as well,
could have been like, for me, for the one that he said to me when he came in, he could have said, how was your holiday?
Yeah.
But he actually named the country that I went to. So he obviously stuck there somehow.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, because he had, you know, bigger fish to fry, as it were. Like, you know, he was in the build-up to a Champions League final.
It's been like 2 months since then. Well, not quite, you know, six, seven weeks or whatever, since the point at which we told him about that. And he's since had to go build up to a Champions League final, do a Champions League final, win it, go and do that massive parade through Liverpool, all that kind of stuff. Then go off on Aldi on the lash to Las Vegas or whatever for the weeks or another. Then get back into pre-season and do blah, blah, blah. Then come off from doing a trail of interviews and stuff that he was doing around that time as well. And then walk it, the little things, it doesn't, you know, when you think about people and personalities and stuff, and people wonder why you buy into certain character types. And I'm lucky that I've not met too many knobheads from the football world. I know they're out there, and I've met a few, but there's not many people who totally surpass your expectations of what they are as a human being. And like, Jürgen Klopp, just everything you'd want him to be and more, isn't he?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we were told we got 15 minutes. I think the video ended up being 23, something like that, in the end. And the press officer was just sat off thingy, and he was like, give it the wrap-up thing to me. And I was like, one more question. Ask the one question. And Jürgen can see out of the corner of his eyes, Matt's telling him to wrap it up. And Jürgen just talks for like 3 minutes straight. Yeah. And you're like, that's brilliant. That hopefully showcased that he was enjoying himself as well. And, you know, he had a lot of media duties that day. It wasn't just us, he was at the Rap, he was at the Echo, there was probably somebody after us as well. But if he's enjoying himself, he will talk. And the press officer ain't going to stop Jürgen Klopp if he's enjoying himself. That's what it comes down to, isn't it?
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. One of the absolute standout from the States is taking an open top bus tour.
I've got two journeys, and I've not told you about this because I'd forgotten all about this journey.
Is this one of the drunk ones?
Yeah, so New York. No, Boston.
Brilliant, good stuff.
Boston, America. I went out with the Rap lads. I then ran into Kevin from LA, who we'd met a few years ago when we went over there. Saw him across the bar. I was like, Kevin. And just gave him a big fucking hug because they proper looked after us. So I ended up drinking with them until the bar shut. And the bar, I don't know what time it was. And they were like, come back to ours, we've got beers. And I was like, fucking right, let's just do it. Like, so we jump into an Uber, but being absolutely flattered, get in the back seat. And there's four of us in the back and no one in the front seat next to the driver. And we sit there for a 30-minute Uber time, basically squished into each other because we're just blathered and didn't notice essentially for the first 5 minutes of the journey that there was no one in the front seat. Anyway, we turned up there. It was very cozy. I can't remember if I sat on someone's knee or someone sat on mine, but it was a good time. Good times were had. And then we turn up there and we get into this Airbnb or whatever it is, and they're like, oh man, I'm really sorry. We drank all the beer. We forgot. So I just jumped back into another Uber and found you.
Brilliant. Put you four on the seat. The four on the back seat story. Great. Could be so sexy.
Great. It was great.
Was it three of the fellas?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, you know, never thought you about. So yeah, the open top bus tour. We got invited to go on an open top bus tour from Carragher's Bar to Yankee Stadium, which is one of the most surreal experiences I've ever had in my absolute entire life. Singing Liverpool songs slightly out of key with our American brothers and sisters through some of the greatest spots in like world history, you know, going through, it wasn't quite through Times Square, it was alongside, it was like 8th or 9th Avenue, and then up past the park, and then up through Harlem.
Have we got
Bronx.
Some videos that we can throw in here?
Yeah.
Have you got a video of the traffic lights?
I don't know. The problem with open top bus tours is that when you put football fans on them, you just want to stand up and sing. But also, American traffic lights hang from the centre of the road effectively, and basically I don't think I got it on video, but like basically you were almost decapitated by a fucking by a traffic light. So I was like,
I turned around and there was a traffic light like 5 yards in front of me, and I'm screaming and I'm like, ah shit, and I just about duck from this traffic light. I mean, there was lads who got whipped by trees. I think Ben got cut on the face by one. It was like, because we were just up. But the thing is, when we got on the bus, the woman who was like looking after us was like, you got to sit down. And then as we got going and she saw how much fun we were having, and she was Brazilian, and she was like, and I was like, this Bobby Firmino's Brazilian. She was like, woohoo, dancing along. And then she's going, they're all looking, everybody up. And she's like conducting us at this point. It was absolutely mental. So then 10 minutes along Central Park, absolutely giving it the beans, and you're sort of looking around and you're looking down at people on the street to begin with, and then you look up and there's just an amazing view with some incredible skyscrapers. Like, where am I? What am I actually doing here? Like, then you do Central Park, then Harlem.
Yeah.
Then we went through Harlem and the Bronx.
Yeah.
And we gave a lot of shit to a lot of fans.
There was a fella walking through Harlem in a Barcelona shirt
who just got, there's two open top buses back to back, and he just got fucking rinsed. Like, you know, you're thinking, you're just going about your day in Harlem, New York, in your Barcelona shirt, which is probably considered to be quite cool or kitsch or trendy
hipster.
Or whatever. Yeah, and then effectively 150 Liverpool fans on a fucking bus start laughing at you and singing songs and making fucking 4-0 gestures at you over the side. Yeah, all the best with your day for that, mate.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it was.
I think the true low light of that was, you know, watching a lad very, very close to me pissing into a beer can. He needed the toilet.
Oh, I thought you meant like someone you knew.
Oh, no. He was just two seats.
A low-light was a man. He was two seats in front of me.
He was two seats in front and he was desperate for a wee.
Into a beer can. And so basically all of his hands on the floor.
Pretty much, yeah. But then what was a highlight was he threw it into a dumpster truck, fair play to him. Like,
good work, good skills. I'd have thrown it to Barcelona fans, to be honest.
Guardiola's bus.
Yeah. So just moving on from all this stuff, just into the things that's happening in the world and our world at the moment. Our good mate David Vujanic just put a tweet out saying that he's leaving Copper 90. The comment below, which has run for God almost
seven
as long
years.
As we've been running, like it's coming to an end. So he's moving on and what have you. And I realised I don't watch. I don't watch much football content on YouTube, but obviously Copper 90 is one of the biggest. I think they got like 1.8 million subscribers or something like that. Absolutely fucking massive. What are they doing? Like, I mean, they've had loads and loads of random strands and shows, and they've chopped and changed things throughout the years. But like, what I come to realise is, it's very, most of these generic football channels, people hold Copper 90 up like it's like, oh, Copper 90. Copper 90, I mean, it does some good stuff, but it's never been brilliant. You know what I mean? It's always been, they've done a couple of, the odd wavy thing, which is what largely I know the people who set it up, the company behind it, I think it was Big Balls Limited, they wanted to do that kind of stuff back in the day. And a few bits and pieces, but I've never understood how a channel that's got had that much money and had that many subscribers, never, like, comparatively for the people who watch it. You know, something's famous for being famous, basically. That's always been the thing.
I don't know. I tend to disagree. I wouldn't say I watch it. I've watched shows. I really like the Derby Days ones and stuff like that. But it was never appointments of view for me. You know, if it cropped up and I had a bit of time, I might watch something. I always thought it was really good content whenever I watched it. I really did enjoy it. Like, It's the world's going niche, and Copper 90 weren't niche in one way.
I think that's the problem with the general football thing. So many people have tried to crack it, and so many people have failed. I mean, have you looked at the Football Republic lately? Like, that was like 2 years ago, that was massive, and it was getting massive views on the videos. And now that it's getting like 5,000 views a video.
But there is one that's doing it well, and that's Football Daily, isn't it?
Yeah.
They think they've got like 1.6 million subscribers, and they're looking at still 250,000 view every video minimum, yeah. With some going much, much bigger, which is decent, you know, especially at a channel like that size doing what they're doing. So it is possible. It's just whether you'd rather watch something just about your club.
But
or
you
not.
Know what? It's funny because there's a trap that people fall into, and we did this with Ball Street a bit as well. Is that you want to have conversations. We do Rem, and I love it, like the podcasty thing where you get a group of people together and they talk about footy. I think it's brilliant, and I always enjoyed Social Club for that. There was a value to it when you got multiple voices and multiple experienced voices talking on things, whereas I look at like 90 Minute try to copy that, and it's a bunch of young lads who I think they're very, very millennial and very Twitter culture. It's just a bit fucking bantery shite, and I don't fucking enjoy that. And it's very easy to go down that route when you talk about other football teams. And what happens is the problem with top generic football content is it's the same problem with everything. There's too many football clubs to talk about, and you're dead right. The niche thing is what everyone wants. It's so hard to produce stuff that serves everyone, and you end up down this rabbit hole of, well, you just end up doing Arsenal content every week, or Man United content, or Liverpool content, and then it ends up being like the other 14 clubs in the Premier League don't get served, and then God knows who's serving the rest of the clubs in the football pyramid. You say the Football Daily, dude, the one who's cracking it's actually Brian and Lawrence on the kickoff. Like, it's not not really my cup of tea in terms of like the kickoff. I've done it before. It's not really my cup of tea, the content itself. But they what I wonder what it is, because their stuff is them two just talking to camera doing the stuff, and I wonder whether it's just that. Does all YouTube content really have to be? Does it have to be people to be truly big and massive? Because you go to YouTube and you look at the fucking walls in YouTube. It's 95% one person talking to camera. I wonder if anyone will ever get it such that you can have real, you know, you'll be able to get that length of
depth. You could broadcast a TV channel. Is that what you're sort of saying? Yeah, like different programs covering different things.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's truly cracked it, because everyone just ends up doing a really bad version of Match of the Day, or you know.
But and this is the issue, and listen, we've had it with Ball Street over the years and Social Club, even though I love that as a show in its first iteration. The difficulty is you're not an expert in anything. Yeah. Now we may know more about Liverpool than others, you know, because of how much we talk about it. Maybe some people do class us as experts, whatever. We are definitely experts on our opinions of Liverpool.
We've got 10,000 hours in to become world class. Probably.
Yeah. But we are experts in our opinions of Liverpool, if nothing else. When you're having a conversation about, like I'm having a conversation about Man United, it's fluff. You know what I mean? A Man United fan wouldn't watch that and go, oh, he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And that you're already on to a loser there.
I think you're dead right. Because the problem, I remember that speech I gave at the Football Blogging Awards years ago, was how we exist because no one gives a fuck what Robbie Savage thinks about Liverpool. And that's the problem. You're dead right. Is you end up having... And that's where I think like 90 Minutes falls flat on its face. And they, to be fair, they do decent views amongst, for all those type of channels. It's relatively healthy, that channel, but it's one of the reasons I fucking can't stand it is because of that, is because you have to, we can walk into a room and sit down and just talk about Liverpool because we are so ingrained in the culture. We watch every game, we are up to date on every news story, and that's the difference between, that's why niche club content has an audience and I think has a long-term future, because there's too much football for a pundit to, for professional pundits to watch. Whereas if you get like Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville or whatever, when they do the deep dive analysis stuff, great, but they obviously take the time to do it. Whereas when you get Match of the Day, you have Danny Murphy rocks up like 5 hours beforehand and they have them all the games on like a screen. It's impossible to have watched all that stuff, so it's impossible to have a fully formed opinion. And football pundits cut corners all the time because they think they've got this God-given, because I played the game, my opinion's more valid kind of thing. So they'll fall back on bullshit arguments. I talk about shite as well, to be fair. I wonder whether anyone will do it, because what we always tried to do with that, the Ball Street stuff, was that trying to get those voices for every single thing. So you've got someone to call upon. But it was so hard to do that. It just makes me wonder whether a channel will ever.
Well, you're almost going to need, if you're going to run it like that, you're going to need minimum 20 presenters that work for you and are willing to come in once every 4 weeks or something to talk about their team.
And let's be honest, where are you basing this? So we've tried this.
That's London, innit?
Well, exactly. Well, you're based in London, but that still means that all of your northern pundits have got to travel down south, and all of your
based one, in which case that will piss off Liverpool fans from Liverpool.
Yeah.
So it's not easy to do, even if you get the people to represent every club.
But it's fascinating with the Copper 90 stuff. I'm interested to see what they do, because obviously they've reinvented themselves so successfully so many times down the years, and I just wonder whether this is like what is the next thing, because the moment they're doing like people who I don't really know, some I guess footballers and that playing Jenga and that's got all the hallmarks of like analytic people are sat in a room going, well, we've got this, what can, you know, this and this, well, this should, yeah. This
100% of our audience like Jenga, let's do a video with Jenga.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that kind of stuff going to see, like Football Republic are doing, here's some people eating hot sauce or something while they're doing stuff, and, you know, you hear, we get this all the time, companies pitch ideas to you, what we're going to get you doing is this, and we're just like, is that like, 5 years ago, people doing, we had someone do the other day, we're going to get you doing forfeits. Nah, you're all right,
no,
done forfeits, It's fine. If you want to get a bunch of fucking 15-year-olds to do forfeits on fucking videos, be my fucking guest. But it's mad that the copper stuff. Think about like fucking Spencer started on copper as the FIFA player. You've got obviously opposing videos. These guys have all become fucking mega stars off the back of that channel. It does make me wonder whether they are going to be the platform that launches the next .. or whether we're just going to slowly see it trail off, because as we've seen it, it's a bit.
You've had so much backing for so long. We were one of the original backed YouTube channels, weren't they? Copper 90, like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, fascinating stuff. Let us know your thoughts on the Copper 90 stuff in the comments below.
We really should do is just get a comment below, show up the two of us before Poet and Vooge do it on their own.
Let us know if you'd like that in the comments.
Make comment below,
football comments below without Poet and Vooge. We'll put them in the hashtags and the fucking. In the tags and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, definitely.
A bit of the traffic.
Yeah, love it.
Can't be arsed. Maybe.
I'd do it.
Okay. That's your channel. It's the channel everyone's been clamouring for.
Pajax comment below. I like that.
Yeah. If you want to see Pajax comment below, drop a like. If you're listening to this on podcast apps, give it a 5-star review and leave us some nice comments. Once again, we've come to the end of it. We've mentioned this. You mentioned that we're nice comments. We were meant to bring them up. We didn't. Next week. Definitely not next week. And if you're on YouTube, drop a like, subscribe to the channel as well. And if there's bits, favourite bits from podcasts in recent weeks that you'd like to see us chuck out there for the rest of the world to look at, let us know them in the comments below. Thank you very much for watching and for listening. See you all soon. Ta-da.
Comment below.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.